Well, Father, I truly do thank you for what you've done here this morning. I thank you, Father, that your angelic host is in this room ministering to your people. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your precious saints who came out to sit at your table, Father. Father, every question that's being asked in your people's hearts this morning, I want you to give them the answer. Every need, Father, I would like to have it met this morning. Every miracle, Father God, please manifest it today. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have to be very aware of what's going on around about us at this given time because so many things are happening. And you know, God just showed me last night that a lot of Christians aren't going to make it. Because the persecution is going to get so bad. The demonic forces are going to be so strong that they're not going to want to fight anymore and they're just going to give up. Let's not be in that category. This is just a fight for our life right now. We're in warfare. Satan has come down to God's children and he knows that, he has but a short time. And he's just throwing everything at us that he could possibly throw. So I want each one of you to encourage yourself in the Lord. Yeah, I was going to say be encouraged, but I want you to encourage yourself in the Lord. I don't care where you're at, alone or in a crowd or whatever, just encourage yourself in the Lord and know that he is more than able to do everything that he's promised in his word that he would do. I'm not even talking about your prophetic words. I'm talking about in his word. We have to get into his word and understand what his word is telling us that he will do. You know, people could tell you what he's going to do till you're blue in the face and it just won't ever sink into your spirit, man. But when you yourself get into the word, there's something about getting into the word yourself. It just leaps out at you, the truth, and it goes down deep down into your spirit, man, and it stays there. And then whenever you're in a dire strait, that word will pop up. You know, whatever is it. If you don't have anything in you, the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to draw on. But if you have the word in you, then he can pull that up and it'll see you through. Finally, people are saying, well, Jesus isn't coming back this month. I said, well, hallelujah, you finally come to your senses. You know. They didn't apologize. I read about three different statements. They said, well, Jesus isn't coming this month. The Bible says nobody knows the time or the day or the hour except the Father, right? So why do we as individuals think we can go around or spouting out when Jesus is coming back? And, you know, we're just going to be working and doing our everyday thing whenever he does come back. We aren't supposed to run to a mountaintop or go down into the cellar. We're supposed to be doing everyday work. And when he comes, he comes. Yeah, I think it would be an awful boring life if we just spent every day thinking that was the day he was going to come. Because all you'd be thinking about all day long is, well, what time of the day am I going to be raptured? You know, we're supposed to be enjoying life, right? And you aren't enjoying life if you're waiting to be raptured. We should be rapture ready, right? All the time. But let's not have that be the utmost thing in our mind. The utmost thing in our mind right now is souls. This great harvest of souls that God's going to be sending into the churches. And he's told me that the church is not, and other people I read, where the churches are not ready to minister to the lost souls that are coming. He's going to send into the church. Now you have to ask yourself this morning. Am I a person that will be able to minister to anybody that God sends into the church? No matter, I'm hearing what the flavor. In other words, no matter what they're into, you know, will you be ready to minister to them out of the abundance of the knowledge of the Word of God that you have deep down inside of you? We never know when God's going to move. We never know what God's going to do. We just follow God, right? And, you know, we just do the things that God's calling us forth to do. You know, you should be so instant in season and out of season that no matter where you're at or what your conversation's all about, God should be able to speak through you. You know, you never know who you're going to run into in your daily life. You just don't. And you know, if your heart is really crying out to God, if you really walk close to God, God could use you in a supernatural way. Just start speaking into their situation. And what better sign is there that you're a child of God than to be able to do that? You're for God to be able to do that through you. And I want each one of you to get to the place in your walk with God where your walk is so close with God that He'll be able to use you any second to just start speaking into any situation. Are you listening here?
Yes.
And if you're not at that place, you need to be working really hard at getting to that place. You know, I was talking to Brother Brett and Sister Nancy last night. I said, get on my, on the, whatever, so we could all hear who was on the phone. And I said, because I'm going to talk, we were talking about the deliverance. I said, I need to talk to you about something about the deliverance. And when we're through with that, all of a sudden, God just starts speaking. You know, we weren't calling for that reason. I wasn't. But He just starts speaking, and He was crying and speaking. And I think He talked about 15 minutes to us, just telling us different things. And see, this is what God wants us to do. I called to talk about the deliverance, but then God wanted to talk about something else too. Are you hearing this? You know, so be always open to what God is wanting you to speak into somebody's life. Somebody called the other day and they called to hear one thing, but they heard just the opposite of what they wanted to hear. But yet the way God explained it to them, you know, as He was speaking through me and explained it to them, they were able to accept it. So what I'm saying here is if you're really walking close to God and God can use you, isn't that what you want to do?
Yes.
You want to be a voice for God, right? Well, then, you know, it doesn't matter what the person wants to hear. As you allow God just to use your vessel, He'll start speaking into their life. And you, that might not be what, just like that, they didn't want to hear what they didn't want to hear that. But yet when God explained the whole picture, they were all excited about it. So, in other words, what I'm trying to get at here then is if they didn't want to hear what you said, don't stop God. Just let him keep talking through you so He can give the whole picture of what's really going to go on in that person's life. We are at a place in God where we're going to have to know every second of every day what's going to happen in our lives. That's just what God had me tell you. We don't know what's coming down the road from one day to the next or one second to the next. And so we have to be so in tune to God that He could just say, hey, you know, go here, turn here, do this, sit still. You know, He has to be able to tell you every second what you are supposed to be doing. We could get ourselves in a whole bunch of trouble if we're not to that place. We could be making a whole lot of choices that are not God choices, but there are choices. And that's why we have to be listening to the voice of the Almighty God. No matter how much you want God to do something, you know, don't make Him do any. Don't try to make Him do anything because it isn't going to work. Let God work in His timing and His timing only, not yours. Because your timing is always out of sync with God, always. And we know that we've all been in, you know, everybody's been going through valley experiences. And God's been telling us that He's taken all the old out of us. So He can place the new in us. And so I'm so glad to see that you did not die in your valley experiences, that you stayed alive and you kept fighting and you didn't know what you was fighting, but you kept fighting. And finally, we're on the winning side now. And God's getting ready to pour into us that new wine that He wants to pour into us. I want you to start watching your dreams. Watch your dreams. See what you dream, because God's starting. I'm not a dreamer, but God's really been pouring into me dream, one dream after another, and they all have great significance. So watch your dreams. See what God what He's doing is showing you about yourself in your dreams. He's giving you direction in your dreams. So don't just fluff it off, you know, and say, oh, well, that couldn't be God. Hold on to what God has. Write it down. Write it down. That's what I do. I hear up to go, I had a dream, you know, and write it down and just watch and see what God's going to do through that dream. We're at a place, guys, where if we're just not, I'm hearing God say, if we don't have our head glued on right, the enemy's going to take us out. We have to be walking in total and complete wisdom and discernment at this given time. You know, some things might sound like good things, but not everything is a good thing. Always remember that, okay? it might sound and look like a good thing, but you need to check God out. Is this really of you, Father? Is this a good thing, or is this just something we think is a good thing? There's a lot of things I think, but God says, I don't want you to do that. How many of you are like that? You know, a lot of things you think you want to do, but God says, no, I don't want you to do that. That's not my thinking, that's your thinking. So you have to shove that in the garbage can. Don't even put it on a shelf. Shove it in the garbage can because you only want to do what God wants you to do, right? Because I'm going to tell you, if you go ahead and do it on your own, it's not going to bear any fruit. Somebody here needs to hear this morning. It's not going to bear any fruit whatsoever. You have to do what God is telling you to do. All right? In the process of God speaking to Brett and Nancy and I, he started talking about Aaron and Adam. And he said Aaron and Adam will be moving into this area. And I didn't know that was a desire of their heart. But God just popped it up and said it, you know. So, and they said, well, that's what they wanted to know. They told us to pray about that. But they hadn't talked to me. We hadn't prayed about it. But see, God, you know, God will speak to you through many avenues, many different avenues. So please be yielded to, I want everybody, you're in a prophetic church. So that means you're prophetic, does it not? That means you're walking in this, you should be walking in the Spirit, and you should hear the voice of God. That, you know, nobody should come into a church just wanting to hear one special person prophesy. You know, what I mean by that is there's a prophet in that church. They should go to that church and say, everybody prophesies. You know, and everybody prophesies accurately because it's God. You know, because you're going to be different places. You in this store or anything else, and somebody walking up, I know you, Ethan. I know you go to prophetic church. Give me a word from God. And just like that, God will give you a word to give that person. Are you just understanding what I'm saying here? You know, there's too much work to do. One person cannot do it. God needs the whole body of Christ to work together to get this work done. Now, we have to have discernment. We have to be fruit inspectors. We have to know who is of God and who is not. So, you know, keep that always in your mind. You know, check out what they're saying to you. Because sometimes, and I hate to say this, but sometimes people speak into your lives what they desire you to do. It's not what God wants you to do. It's what they desire for you to do. That's just like when I was talking to one person the other day. They desired God to say one thing. And I said, honey, I can't tell you what God's not saying. I just told you what God said. All right, I'll go along with that. Then I know you wouldn't lie to me. I'll go along with that then. And just like God, go ahead and work things out. So please don't tell them what you think they want to hear. When God told me that Adam and Aaron would be moving into this area, I thought, You know, because now that means they have to relocate. That means they have to find a place. And Barbara, you close your ears. You're not in this. You're not in this loop, you know. And you know, they'll have to do all kind of things. Amen. Come on. Might be in a basement, right? You never know what God's going to do. But God is moving people from one place to another, one state to another right now. He is doing that. Because he wants you where he's going to be able to use you. You know, a lot of people are in Florida because God's really moving in Florida. And you might say, well, I want to go to Florida. Well, that's not where God wants you. Look at Carol Ann. She lived in Florida, but God moved here to Delaware. You know what I'm saying? He's taking you where you're going to be used. So don't fight God. I would like to go somewhere, but God said, you're going to stay right here. So I'm staying right here. See, you know, I could get up and move my own, but then I would be in a mess. And you would too. You boys said you couldn't move till God said you could move, or it'd be a mess. So, all that said and done, some of you here need to hear all that. So I hope you took it. Hope you gleaned from it. And I hope that you don't get battle weary in your walk with God, because I'm going to tell you, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And Christians are being persecuted now more than ever. You know, it's coming into the United States now. We know they're dying by the thousands overseas, but it's coming into the United States now. And we have to hold our ground. You know, the schools are turning very demonic. And, you know, it's scary. I'm glad I don't have any children in school. You know, now they're wanting to teach the tweens now. What is that? I forgot what they want to teach them. But anyhow, I'm glad my child's not in there being taught now that junk. And you Christians who have your children in school, you better pray over them really hard when they leave and when they get back home. Who was it? Somebody had children in school and they wouldn't let them in the front door till they prayed all the spirits off of them. Somebody did. Some preacher did that. And I thought, that's a neat idea. They didn't carry all them spirits in from school into your home. See, you have to be ever on the alert. All right? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to move in your life in a different way today than you did yesterday? Yes. We don't want the same old anymore, do we? No, we don't. No, we don't. We want what God wants for us. And we want to be radical for God, do we not? God's telling me in the blue and white, God's telling me you're going to be so radical for him that people won't be able to stand to be around you. All right. Say, well, you're going to get more radical than you are right now. There's something about laughter. You're going to be carrying laughter to the people. You're just going to have uncontrollable laughter. You're not going to be able to control it at all. And it's just going to bring the walls of hell down. Thank you, Father. You know, the body of Christ really does need laughter, you know, because the body of Christ is too straight-laced. During praise and worship, I felt a terrible heaviness. I couldn't quite get into praise and worship, and I had to pray myself through that. I don't know what it was, but, you know, who cares? God is on the throne. Amen. Ethan, you and your wife need to know something. The enemy's worked really hard at your marriage to tear it apart, but God said he's cementing you together. And nothing's going to be able to separate nor divide. He's saying, in fact, your marriage is going to be totally and completely different than what it's ever been. And that both of you are going to be happier and closer. And you're going to be one of one spirit. And you're going to know what each other's thinking at all times. And God wants you, Ethan, to stand guard over your wife and your children. And don't let the enemy have any leeway in their lives. Thank you, Father. You're going to see a total difference and total change within your home, God's telling me to tell you. The whole atmosphere in your home is going to change. Watch who speaks into your lives. This is where you have to be fruit inspectors. This is where you have to have this total discernment and know what is of God and what is not. Right? I could even come and speak something into your life that's not of God, and you should be able to pick that up if I do that. You should be able to pick that up. Well, I'm going to try to teach you on unity this morning, all right? Do you know how many times I've tried to teach a sermon? And God always takes over and I never get it taught. So let's try to teach it this morning because it's important. I mean, I'm always glad when God takes over. I really am. Well, Holy Spirit, you go ahead and do what you want to do right now. Minister to God's people. Do the perfect works. And Father, I thank you for it and I praise you for it. I thank you and I praise you for it. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just hearing God say he no longer wants you guys to be spectators, but he wants you to be imitators of Christ. Wherever you're at, you're supposed to be just like Jesus Christ. Let your light shine. You know, you go places where I can't go. Let your light shine. Wherever you go, just let your light shine. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to speak out to anybody that you love the Lord. You know, if we know the love of God, I'm going to teach a little bit of that tonight. We won't walk in fear of that kind of stuff. We won't. Because we'll just be so happy in God that we want everybody else to know that we're radicals. We want everybody to know that we're different. You know. That's why you can't get the world into the church, because the church is just like the world. And the church is looking for something real, something lasting, something vibrant. And that's what we should be. We should be real, lasting, and vibrant. We should be rejoicing all the time. Of course, we have to do business. I know that. But why can't we do business being happy? Amen? Come on. All right, let's try reading this. Genesis 11:1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which his sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." You see that? God said, look what they got together in total and complete unity. They all spoke the same language. And they decided to build that tower to heaven. And God came down and said, "Wow, look at this. They got in unity and they can do anything they want to do." So guess what God's been trying to get the body of Christ to do? He's been trying to get us to be in total and complete unity. And when we get in total and complete unity, there is nothing can stop us. The Holy Spirit is beckoning us to truly walk as one in Him, in Christ, to allow our eyes to be drawn away from judging one another, from what we see in the natural, and into truly loving one another with the Father's heart. See, the body of Christ has not yet attained that. We have truly not learned to love one another. There's still too much judging in the body of Christ, and God does not want the judging. He doesn't. We all have flaws. We all have flaws. So why are we pointing our finger at somebody else? See, the body of Christ has been so programmed to judge and to condemn. And what God is trying to program us to do is to love. And if we love one another, the Bible tells me love covers a multitude of sins, does it not? Then we aren't going to see the flaws in somebody else if we're walking in total and complete love, are we? No. The answer is no. Some of you are looking at me like, you just won't. Three things must be in a child of God's life. That's love, grace, and unity. Love, grace, and unity. You know, wouldn't it be a terrible world to live in if we all had the same personality? Wouldn't that be awful? And so because we all have different personalities, we're all going to act different. We're going to talk different. So why are we judging? Maybe, I don't like the way she talks. Well, I don't like the way you talk either, so how about that? You know, this isn't what the body of Christ does. And so why do we do that? Because we do not walk in the love of God the way we need to walk in the love of God. Psalm 133. Verse 1 says, a song of accents of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded a blessing, life forevermore. That's why families are falling apart. There's no unity in families. Everybody's always bickering and backbiting and pointing fingers. And this is not of God. And it's in your home, so then it's carried into the church. Right? So what we have to work on, saints, is unity in the home. Now, I understand that you're not going to get everybody to agree with you. All right? We all understand that, right? But at least we can walk in some sort of unity. we can walk in love, if nothing else. If we walk in love, then everything else will fall into place. And the reason why you're backbiting everything in your home is because the love isn't there. And you know, if the love is not in the home, your home is dark, isn't it? I know what it was to have total love in my home. It was nothing but light. Now I know what it is to have not total love, and it's dark. I walk through my rooms and I think, I can't believe how dark my house has become when it used to be a house of so much light because everybody in it walked in love. But when you have different families living in the same house, you can't control them. And you just have to keep praying, you know, and praying against the darkness. But your job is to keep loving. As you keep loving, you can break down that darkness, right? You can bring some sort of light into your home, into your workplace. You know, you can do that. Well, you just don't know. God knows all things, and God commands us to love the unlovable, does he not? So you take that to God, and you watch what God tells you about that. Come on. Do you know about grace? Didn't I say we need love, grace, and you? Do you know about grace? Do you understand that it's God's grace that brought you thus far? It's God's grace that has you delivered, saved, set free. And maybe the person that's being so unlovable in your home, maybe they need the same grace that you got. Maybe they need the same ministering to that you was ministered to with. We have to always remember that. Now, I know there's bad marriages. I know there's just bad people that just will never serve God. And you have to get away from them. If you don't, they'll pull you down. And they'll make your whole world dark. But I'm not talking about that this morning. Let's you know, don't say, well, she doesn't know. Yes, I do. We're not talking about that. We're talking about getting in unity. And the way we do that is by walking in pure, unadulterated love. You know, you can love somebody but not get along with them. You know, your personalities just clash and you just can't get along. But that doesn't mean you don't love them. You know, I always say you have to forgive your enemies. I didn't say you had to sit at the table and eat with them. You know, but you have to forgive them if you want God to forgive you. Right? Acts 1 verse 12 says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealotite, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They all continued in one accord in prayer. Have you ever been to a prayer meeting where you have somebody that's leading prayer, then somebody else is sitting there saying, well, I could pray better than they can pray. See, you might as well leave the prayer meeting because you just messed up the spirit. If God has placed somebody in there to be the one to lead to prayer, then follow that person. So if you can pray better, then go home and pray better after the prayer meeting. But don't bring disunity into a prayer meeting by arguing who can pray better than somebody else. Because if God has set somebody as the one to lead to prayer, then he's told that person how to pray and what to pray for. You might want to pray for something totally different, but that isn't what God wants. He wants whatever he told the leader to do. Are y'all in agreement here? And you wonder why you don't get anything done in the prayer meetings, because you're not in one accord. So all these people, these all continue with one accord. There was more in their prayer meeting than there is in our prayer meeting. But they stayed in one accord. You get four or five and they can't even stay in one accord. Now come on, quit that mess. This is what God's saying, just quit that mess and just go ahead and agree, you know, just go ahead and pray in unity. I don't come to prayer meeting, but there must be something going on here for God to say that. Let's look at what God did when they all came together in unity. We're talking about the disciples in Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. All right, let's just stop there. What's stopping the fire of God to fall? Boom, just now. We're not all in one accord because we're all on a different page. But if we're all on the same page and we're all in one accord, the glory of God could drop. Are you listening? You know, as I said, that when we used to have all the miracle services here, the reason why God could do the miracles that he did was because everybody that came into the churches knew God was going to show up. And they came here for that purpose. And now people come in, well, you know, I'm just going to go check things out, or, well, you know, this and well, that. They're all coming for different reasons into the house of God. And God wants us to drop everything that's bothering us, and he wants us to come into the house of God, one mind and one accord, total unity, so that his anointing can be dropped upon us. All right, so then when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See how mightily God can drop upon people when you're all in one accord, total unity, one mind, looking for one thing. We should come in here looking for God, for the smoke to fill the temple. Amen. And see, I'm not going to talk about the visitors. I'm going to talk about the people that come here on a regular basis. You're the ones that need to be coming here expecting the smoke to fill the temple. And then the visitors just come to enjoy the smoke. Amen. Come on. Are you understanding this? Come on. So let's not blame it on an outside world. They brought in a demon. Well, you know, if you were in a place you should have been, the demon would have been uncomfortable and stayed outside. He wouldn't have wanted to come in. We use all kind of excuses why God doesn't do what we want, what he wants to do. So let's stop. Because God is going to do a great and mighty works in here, but he's trying to teach us to be in one mind and one accord. Walking together in unity is talked about in Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I think that's a powerful statement right there. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. How should you do that? With all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See that? It says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Well, Nancy Willis has come in here with her chin down to her knees again. No, we shouldn't say that. So if Nancy comes in here again with her chin down to her knees, she's having a problem. If we see that, we need to be praying quietly to ourselves, right? Not getting upset because she should be bubbly, 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 and isn't. Let's just face it, we're not always going to be bubbly. There's just things that come into our life that we have to hold up before the Lord, and we can't be bubbly. Hopefully we can get over that. Come on. Hopefully we can be like Paul, and he just praised the Lord at all times, no matter what. Verse 4 said, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we all have enough grace within us, guys, to overlook a brother or sister's fault. We do. We do not have to be looking at their fault or their flaws. Because there's enough grace. You want God to show his grace to you, do you not? Then why can't we do that for our brother and our sister? Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. We're talking about Jesus. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why did he do all that? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, everybody can't be an apostle. Everybody can't be an evangelist. You know, we have to understand we all have different giftings, but we should bring those giftings together into the body of Christ and cause the body of Christ to function properly. And if we would be in unity, we could bring our gifts into the house of God. We wouldn't be so puffed up that we have to prove to everybody what we can do. We would just sit in the house of God, praising the Lord. And when God wants to, deems it necessary to use you, he'll just use you. It's not because you're sitting there wanting God to use you. He'll just use you. Verse 14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according. In other words, we all are joined together with our giftings, and with our giftings we make up the whole body of Christ, and God flows freely. Nobody clogs up anything. We just let God go ahead and use us very freely. The effect of working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Everything's in love. You can't escape love because God is love. Jesus is love. The Godhead is pure love. And why is there so much hate in the world? It's because Satan is trying to take love out of the world. And we, as children of God, we have to love. We have to keep that love going. No matter what our differences are, we have to keep that love flowing. I would say the best way to tell if a person was really a child of God or not is to watch their love. How are they walking in love? I'm getting into my evening service, so I'll stop there. The first unity that Paul exhorts us to fulfill is, in Ephesians 4:3, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We keep unity through peace, not discord, not backbiting. Peace. Christ attained this unity by his work on the cross, and our task is to maintain it. You know, Jesus always says in his word, peace I give you and peace I leave with you. So we're supposed to be full of peace at all time, are we not? And when we see that we're not full of peace, and we need to get on our knees before the Lord, and we need to tell the Father, Father God, you need to give me more peace. And you need to tell the enemy to back off, get out. He's not going to rob your peace. And, you know, you can be in a home where there's a lot of strife and a lot of contention, and you're working really hard at keeping your peace for that day, and the enemy can use those people around about you to rob you of your peace, but, you know, you don't have to let him rob you. He's not greater than the one that's inside of you. You can truly maintain your peace even though other people are not peaceful. So don't say, well, so-and-so. No, let's just quit blaming and putting the blame on somebody else. It's your walk. It's your temple. Your choices. You can maintain your peace in the midst of every storm. When we quit doing the blaming others routine, we ourselves will be better people. And really, if you look at your life, everything's two-sided. You know, so quit blaming everything on one person. Well, you don't know how bad my husband or my wife was. They were probably pretty bad, but why did you stay there? you know what I'm saying? You didn't have to stay there and endure all that. So blame yourself, too, for staying there. Something happened in my life quite a few years ago, and I said, you know what? When I really look back on it, it's my fault that I'm going through all this, because even though God told somebody else to do something, I should have done it when they didn't. So the blame is on me because I didn't do my part. You have to look into your life and you have to be honest with yourself. What is there in you that you didn't do that you should have done that caused you to be in a turmoil that God never wanted you in? Has God ever said to you, I never meant for you to go through this? What he means when he says it is you didn't do your part. You didn't do what you should have done the reason why you don't do your part is you're too wrapped up in what the other person should be doing. That you don't realize what you should be doing. I really want you to take this real serious this morning, because God showed me this is what the problem is in the body of Christ. We're too busy looking at the other person's fault and not realizing we miss God ourselves. All right. Do I got you confused now? No. All right. So we're going to start being fruit inspectors of ourselves, right? We're going to start inspecting what kind of fruit we're bearing.
Yes.
And if we can get our fruit good, we don't have nothing to worry about, because it's all smooth sailing. Ephesians 4, 1 and 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We read that. We read the whole chapter. But Paul is saying, therefore, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, see, he was a prisoner for God, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. He could have really and truly been moaning, groaning, and complaining, but he didn't. He was sending a word of encouragement to the people. Then with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, the body of Christ doesn't have those attributes, do they? Those fruits are not prevalent in the body of Christ. Saints, if we could just work on those fruits, just go back and read Ephesians chapter 4. Work on those fruits and see what God will be able to do with you. Each one of you in here are called to be a leader. What kind of leader are you going to be? If you don't have your fruit in line, then you can't lead anybody else. If your fruit's rotten, then everything you give will be rotten. So you have to really and truly check yourself out. All right, when God sends somebody from the world to you, is your fruit good enough that you'll be able to minister to that person in the truth of the word? Or are you putting on a show? Are you putting on an act? The people are going to see, the world's going to see right through your act. What you are has to be genuine. It has to be from the very core of your being. You have to be genuine. Are you understanding that? I have somebody in my home right now, and I got upset the other day, and I said, I'm so sorry I got upset. He said, look at me, he said, you're only human. He said, and I saw the whole picture, and you're only human. In other words, he was saying, I didn't blame you for nothing you just said or did. But, you know, I did, because I thought I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have got upset with somebody else in my home. I didn't get upset with them, but things were going on that upset me. And so I just talked about it. Too, that people that are upset me. But you know, sometimes I think we're a little bit too hard on ourselves, you know, and we need to stop that too. We're not perfect, but then I'm not making excuses for nothing. Supposed to walk in love, gentleness, long suffering, lowliness. Are you understanding this? See, if we start making excuses for why we do what we do, we're not going to make it. We're not. We're supposed to be bigger than that, right? We're supposed to be bigger than the world. And you know what, saints of God, if you start getting on the world's level, guess where you're going to be? God told me one time, never go to their level, bring them up to your level. And a couple times in my life in the last couple of years, I've gone to their level, then I had to go and repent. Because when you get angry and you say things out of anger, then you've gone to their level. So if you're getting to that point, get yourself out of the room, you know, and go and cry to God and say, God, you have to restore here something in me because I've just lost it. But see, we don't do that. We just keep on and on and on. Isn't that what people do? And we need to walk away from that. Do you know it takes a bigger person to walk away than it does to stand there and act like a fool? Well, they'll think I'm a wimp. I don't care what they think. All they're trying to do is pull you down to their level. Walk away. You'd be surprised what you accomplish by walking away. The attitudes for maintaining unity. First one is lowliness. This word means having a humble opinion of oneself. In other words, you're not better than anybody else. A deep sense of one's moral littleness. Modesty, humility, and lowliness of mind. This virtue is necessary in order to properly value others around you. Did you hear that? This virtue is lowliness is necessary in order to properly value others around you. Have you ever noticed everybody wants to be in the limelight? Everybody wants to be number one. I'm going to tell you, being in limelight, being number one, is a bad place to be. It's better if you were sitting down and you were at the bottom of the pool, because the devil doesn't fight you as hard down there. But when you get up in the limelight, he fights you with everything that he has. So you want to be a leader? Then be prepared to fight. Be prepared for the enemy to attack you. You know, if you're going to set up meetings, be prepared for the enemy to come after you. Whatever you prepare to do, be prepared to fight the enemy, because he's not going to let you do this lying down. He's going to come after you to try to stop you. See, I'm not preaching you a negative word this morning. I'm teaching you that you need to learn how to fight. And the reason why the body of Christ isn't going to make it, God told me, is because they don't know how to fight. They've been led down a primrose path that does not exist. In the Word of God, it says a child of God will suffer. Isn't that what it says? We're going to suffer. But that doesn't mean we have to be unhappy. Paul suffered and he was not unhappy. We just have to understand this is, hey, this is part of saying, here I am, Lord, use me. Right? This is part of the program. And you know, I can see why it's going to be harder and harder for Christians to stay in the house of God, because they say they're leaving the house by the handloads. It's because they're not going to be able to take the enemy. They're not going to be able to take the attacks. But see, what they don't understand, when they leave the church and leave God, they're in the enemy's camp, then they're going to go to hell. And it's going to be terrible. So what you have to do is stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. If everybody in here, if you were told when you received Jesus Christ, when you were born again, that you were going to be in warfare with the enemy, probably most of you wouldn't have done it. But see, that is what you have to be told. You have to be told, okay, now you became a born-again child of God. Now there's a war going on. And like God told me, you're in a tug of war. Satan has one of your arms, daughter, and I have the other. And we're both vying for your soul. It's up to you which one of us wins. He told me that right off the get-go. So I'm telling you, you're in a tug of war. God wants you and the devil wants you. Who's going to win this tug of war? It's totally up to you. God can't win it for you. He can't. And so let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. See, people don't do that. Without this virtue, members in the body begin trying to be the head of the body, a role reserved only for Christ. All right? Gentleness. This word can be translated as gentleness, mildness, meekness. It is not a quality of weakness, but of power under control. You see that? Gentleness is power under control. Moses was a meek man, it tells you at Numbers 12:3, but capable of great strength and boldness. A lot of people will take your gentleness as a sign that you're weak and they can walk all over you. Jesus was meek and lowly in heart. You find that in Matthew 11:29, but we see where he drove the money changers out of the temple. Thus, it is being gentle, even when there is a potential for being harsh, but gentleness is more conducive for maintaining unity. So even when you want to be upset, it's better not to be. So the third thing is long-suffering. The idea here is one of patience, forbearance, long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. When the body consists of members who are not perfect and often sin against each other, maintaining unity is not possible unless they are willing to endure each other's imperfections. That's what God said right at the beginning. You know, when you get married to, oh, I didn't know he had these flaws or she had these flaws. What do you think he's marrying, Jesus Christ? You know. You don't know anybody till you live with them. You know, your little glazed over eyes only see what you want to see, right? And then when you get married and you start living with them, then the glaze leaves. You say, oh, look what I got in my hands. Well, you got it. Now endure it. You know, pray over it. All right, bearing with one another in love. Similar to long-suffering, bearing means to sustain, to bear, to endure. What makes such long-suffering and forbearance possible in another is another virtue, which is love. As Paul wrote in his chapter on love, love suffers long, is not provoked. So, is not provoked. So when you get provoked, your love walk must be a little bit off. And that's in 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. Indeed, the virtue of love is the tie that binds all these virtues together. Colossians 3:12-14. Endeavor. Displaying these virtues does not come naturally, nor easy, nor does maintaining unity. Thus, the need for much effort, as Paul uses a word which means to exert oneself, endeavor, give diligence. You're going to have to work with yourself. You're going to have to make yourself do things that you just don't really want to do at the time. But you know, the Word of God says we have to do this thing if we're to remain a child of God. You know, God is so good. He's really working on people's lives right now. He had Sister Nancy crying her eyes out for 3 days and three, or was it 4 days and four nights? And she said she's a totally changed person. And the other day I was laid the baby down for a nap, and I got up and sat on the chair. And I just started crying, uncontrollably crying. And all of a sudden God spoke to me. He told me all about my life. He said, I see it all. And then I don't remember what he's told me after that, but because he talked so long and I was crying so hard. I mean, he was moving on me so strong. But see, God was there to encourage me to keep going. And he said, through it all, he said, the people that should have loved you left you. But he said, I never left you. I never left you. And he said, I saw how whenever you were hurting so bad, but you kept it together. And I thought, yeah, I did. And he said, nobody knew how bad you were being torn apart inside, but you kept it together. And you kept moving forward. You kept moving forward. You kept doing the works I called you to do. He said, but I was always there loving you. When everybody else left you, I was there loving you. And, you know, it just went on. And I'm sitting there just crying my eyes out. Because I know God's always with me, but for him to tell me, start early on and just give me my whole life and tell me he saw everything, and he explained everything I was going through. I was there with you. So whatever you're going through, God's there with you. If nobody else loves you, God loves you. If everybody leaves you and forsakes you, God said, daughter, I never forsook you. I stayed with you. He said, I'm the one that gave you the strength to go forward. I was always holding your hand. And I know all this, but to have him just bring it all together, you know, and I'm just sitting there in total awe and crying my eyes out. God is so wonderful. You know, and I wasn't praying for him to do that. I just put the baby down just thinking what else I had to do. You know, God will move on you whenever he wills. And he'll bring it all together. He will strengthen you when you think like, where am I going to get any more strength? God, my love vessel is empty. He'll come and love you and fill it back up again. Are you seeing what I'm saying? If you're walking close to God that nobody else can get between you and God, he will always sustain you. He will give you what you need to get through the day. He will give you this strength. He'll give you whatever you need. But you have to be staying close to him. You have to have all these attributes we're talking about. But the biggest thing is your foundation has to be love. Has to be love. One time God said, daughter, your love vessel has a leak in it. He said, work on your love again. And I thought, yep, my love vessel did have a leak in it. My love wasn't as strong as it should have been. So you have to you have to regroup with yourself. You have to say, all right, devil, so you snuck in there and got me when I wasn't looking. You're leaving right now, and I'm going to love. I don't care what you say, devil, I'm going to love. No matter what goes on, I'm going to love. I can be upset with you, but still love you, you know. Gabriel said to me, well, you don't love me because you're upset with me. I said, honey, loving you has nothing to do with being upset with you. You're standing there just acting like you shouldn't act, and I'm telling you, you need to straighten up. That has nothing to do with my love for you. Really, true, if I didn't love you, I'd walk away from you is what I should have said to him. But I love him too much to let him continue down the road he's going. You understand this?
Yes.
Come on, love will correct, you know. But just as important as having the right attitude is understanding and holding to the basis of unity. But just as important as having the right attitudes is understanding and holding to the basis of unity. One body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. That's what we need to hold on to. The unity. Total and complete unity in Christ. Knowing that love is your foundation. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You have one Father in heaven who loves you so desperately and so completely. He doesn't want you to be lost for nothing in the world. That's why he gave his Son. You know, he sent us the Holy Spirit as a comforter when Jesus went away. He said, I won't leave you without comfort. I'll send you the Holy Spirit. Now we have the angelic hosts that are going to fight for us. You know, what better do you want out of life? What does Satan give you? He gives you pain after pain after pain after pain after pain. You know, you go through a mess, but you have pain. But you know, when you're with Christ, when you're totally and completely with Christ, you might have to go through pain, but you go through it with joy. Because you know your Father's with you. You know you have all of heaven backing you up. You know that there's a stronghold that hell can't go through. You know that you're the head and not the tail. You know that God is for you, not against you. But with Satan, he just hit you hard and hard and hard and hard and hard. This young man I have in my home right now, you know, he's got kicked off the clinic, and I think he was on methadone. I think it was methadone. And he's sick, really sick. And I didn't say anything to him. He couldn't come to church this morning, but I'm thinking, now this is what Satan did for you. He got y'all hooked up, nose dry. He got his back hurt. He was all right guy, but he got his back hurt. And then he started him on the pain medication, and he got hooked on it. But this is what Satan did for you. Look, you're sitting in here puking your insides out all night and all morning and getting out of the car and puking on the road, you know. And this is what Satan did for you. Jesus doesn't do that for you. He is nothing but love, nothing but peace, and nothing but joy. Come on. Do we have problems? Yes, we have problems because we have an enemy. The enemy brings the problems. But we don't have to give in to the problems. We take the problems to the Lord. And we just let him keep opening doors. That we can walk through with surety of heart that they're going to be good doors. God wants each one of you in here this morning to understand totally and completely who you are in Christ. You are a true child of God, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and all of the kingdom of heaven is at your beck and call. Whatever you have need of, just ask the Father. And if you do it in faith and believing, he's going to give it to you. Yes, we all went through Job experiences. We all know that. And we're not even going to go back there, all right? Because it wasn't nice. But God warned us, you're going through a Job experience. So what we should have done was looked in the Word and see what Job went through. Wishing it would only have been 9 months that you had to go through it. But if it was 3 or 4 years, I took that to God. God, he only had to go through it 9 months. He said, you'll go through it as long as I want you to. How are you going through your Job experience? Are you going through it rejoicing like Paul did? Or are you going through it like I did, complaining? God said, you can go around this mountain as many times as you want to go around it, and I'll be here when you decide to get off of it. So how many times do you want to go around your mountain? All you have to do is just stop. Stop your complaining. Stop your letting your problems get you down. And just trust God. You haven't changed anything anyhow, have you? With all your worry and all your concern, you haven't changed, and all your grumbling, complaining, you haven't changed anything. So just stop. Get off your merry-go-round. Just stop. And say, God, I'm so sorry. I'm ready now to give it all to you. Place it all in your hands. And I'm just going to walk on with you and have a good time. That's why you can rejoice. That's why you can shout for joy. That's why you can dance and sing in the house of God. You see little Isaiah. You know, do you think that's cute? You ought to be at home, though. He does it all the time at home. Stomps his feet and screams. Because, you know, we had Christian music playing nonstop and these songs. And he hears them songs. Boy, he gets a stomp in that foot. And Jesus, atop his lower voice, you know. And victory, you know. And he just, and his father said, what is he doing? What he does in church. Well, he needs to stop. It's nonstop. And he very loud at it. But you know what? I think it's great he does that, though, really. Because he's running all through the house doing that, so I think he's breaking down strongholds, you know. Because it's a little child, you know, just out there just doing what he's, you know, and he watches you guys, what you do in here. That's why he does some of his motions. Do you ever watch how he watches you? He's getting that down pat. So he knows how to do it, you know. So we ought to be like a little child and look at Jesus that way. You know, look at his word. Get that down in our spirit, how what Jesus did, and then imitate it. Because that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be imitators of Christ. I'm hearing God say that there is joy unspeakable in this journey, if you'll receive it. In other words, you can go through your journey with God and enjoy, or you can go through it in gloom, doom, and despair. It doesn't matter to him. But he's saying there is joy unspeakable. Amen. Each one of you in here have a testimony. Each one of you in here could really lead a lot of people to Christ. Because what God will do is he'll put you in line with the same people that are going through what you already went through and came through. And then through your testimony, you're telling them all about what happened to you and where God took you, how he got you out of there and where he's taken you to. They'll receive Christ because they'll say, well, God can do that for you, then he can sure do it for me because he's no respecter of persons, right? They won't know that, but you'll know that. And you can tell them that. You know, out of your pain, God always births something for the gospel. Are you listening? Out of your pain, God always births a ministry to help other people. So are you ready to let God birth a ministry out of your pain? Yes. If you are, the ones of you that really want God to birth a ministry out of what you had to go through, he wants you to come up here because he's going to give you a special touch this morning.